the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email, you can do that as well. It's Rick Emerson. No. The hell is it?
What are we talking about?
Nothing.
Oh.
It's Rick at RickEmerson.com.
What?
Well, I've got like 9 different email addresses. And then there's that solidstate.am thing that...
Did you almost give out your personal email address?
No, it's just that they've got... Well, they gave us that... There's the Rick Emerson at solid something or other. Solidstate.radio.am or solidstateradio.am.
Please write to me at my home.
Please bring all correspondence to my house. Yes. You'll notice that's why I... never mind. I was just going to say, well, that's why I always just stick with the Rick at Rick Emerson one. Because, like, Scotty's got the solidstateradio.am... Which I think works, but I think he's the only one that uses it. They went to all the trouble to set it up. I think he's the only one that uses it. Do you use that?
Use what?
That's what I'm saying.
970.am.
Well, that one I use. That one I use. And that one's in your, that's in Band-Aid, right?
Yes.
All right. And well, this is an exciting conversation. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show live from the dirty South Atlanta.
Special Ed.
I'm not going to call him Special Ed. Hello, Ed.
Special Ed. I've been called that many times.
Yes, we were speaking with somebody, one of your colleagues who was Nanette Sosa, and she said that we were talking about something, and the best part is I don't even think I brought your name up. I think it was absolutely and completely apropos of nothing, as they say. And I said, so, let's talk about Hezbollah. And just I was trying to talk about that, and she's like, do you know what we call Ed McCarthy Special Ed? Well, she just blurted it out. She couldn't wait to tell
me.
So she also was heard to tell us that you do a fantastic impersonation of deceased comedic icon Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, yeah. Well, I worked at that for a long, did it for a lot of years.
Would you care to grace us?
Could you did it. What do you mean you did
it? I could do that.
But, I mean, go ahead.
I get no respect. You know what I'm saying to you?
Hey, that's
the other day, I called up for the weather. The record hung up on me. You know, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. It's a tough life, I'll tell you. You know, my wife. I'll tell you, you know. Wait, what's the other one here? Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to come up with the line.
All right,
hang
so we'll let you do it. We'll let you get a rolling start.
Oh, I know what it is. I'll tell you, my wife, she told me she wanted sex in the back seat. Hey, I got sick of driving, you know what I mean?
Okay, that's fantastic. Did you just do this for your own amusement, or was this in aid of something? Did you do this for some larger purpose?
No, I always did this because I always loved the guy. I thought he was great. So
it's fantastic.
Get a real kick out of it.
It's one of my great regrets in life, actually, that I never saw Dangerfield in person while he was alive. That's why Tim Riley and I were finally able to see a couple weeks ago. We saw Don Rickles because he came to the Oregon coast, and we.
I saw Rickles years ago in Connecticut at the Oakdale Theater. It was unbelievable.
No, he was really good. He was 80 years old, still great, still funny, and it's one of those, not to be morbid, one of those things you can check off your guys got to see before they die list. So the
tell you a funny story, yeah. Rick, about Rickles. You know, this one I saw, this, he's doing the act and some guy is leaving, walking out, and he says, oh, what do you want to do? He says, you want to beat the traffic? You want to get out of here? He goes, screw you. He says, I'm going to go another 2 hours. And he did.
Excellent. The best thing about Rickles was that halfway, and Jim Roop told me later that this is a thing he just does, that about halfway through the interview, he quit calling me Rick and started calling me Eric. And then when he was thanking me we went to the event, and at the venue at the end of the show, it was very cool. He said, I want to thank some people. I want to thank the people at Chinook Winds. And then he called, and then he said, also, I was on a fantastic radio program. I'll never forget it. The Rick Erickson Show just completely mangled my name, which I talked to Roop later, and Roop told me that's kind of his shtick. That's what he does.
That's funny.
He'll just to see if you'll call him on it. So about halfway through, he'll switch gears on you. So,
that's great.
I have no graceful way to segue from a Rodney Dangerfield impression to the war in Afghanistan. So we're just going to have a little bit of a train wreck here as cha-ching, we shift gears. There's just nothing. The only reason I really bring this up is that I know that they've had you out talking to people about the ongoing efforts, as they say, in Iraq and Afghanistan. The reason I bring this up is because we here at CBS Radio got an interesting survey sent to us the other day. And I think, Tim, do you have this?
Part of it.
Our news director, Tim Riley, is talking about the support for the war among, you figure who would be the hardcore, which is the country music audience. And even the country music audience, their support for the war in Iraq and presumably the war in Afghanistan, what is it now? It's down to like 50%?
Let's see, 26% for men and, 22% for men, 30% for women.
And it was up at like 92% at one point. Mm-hmm. And so they've got, who have they got you talking to about this?
I was out talking to some folks yesterday about, we had Rumsfeld talking in Washington. So the question was, you know, do you think we're winning the war on terrorism? It really wasn't about Iraq, but, the people that I talked with said, they really didn't feel we were. And one guy said he spent 6 years in the military and he just recently came back and he said that, he thought it would take 5 or 6 more years. I said, how long do you think it'll take? He says 5 or 6, you know, and it's probably, a low estimate too. I mean, there's so many of these guys out there, it's frightening. I told you about that thing I saw on, what was it, Discovery New York Times Channel, and I'm watching this thing and it's unbelievable. You know, you go from, Hezbollah to Hamas to Al-Qaeda. They had like 3 separate shows.
Well, and here's in my assessment, and I am no political strategist, but it does seem to me that the Bush administration, this sword cuts both ways here, where on the one hand, by framing it as this amorphous enemy that you can't really get a handle on and that you can't really define, because what is terror? What is terrorism? You kind of know, but you can't really define it. So on the one hand, it does give the Bush administration a sort of perpetual war that they can constantly be using to, if one were to be cynical about this, that they can constantly use to ratchet up the budget and to keep the American people sort of on tenterhooks about this. On the other hand, by making the enemy so undefinable and so vague and so amorphous, it's impossible to have any kind of progress, and you're never, ever, ever, ever going to be able to have something you can present in concrete terms. You're never going to be able to do the thing where you have Emperor Hirohito or whatever it is, you know, on a boat signing a surrender document. You're never going to have a conclusive end. It's like having a war on mold. It's just never going to happen. And so
That's very true.
Yeah, this result is inevitable, that the American people are going to feel like we're going nowhere.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. And I was talking to somebody today who has a lot of contacts over in Israel. And, you know, we were talking about, I said, you know, what exactly are these Katyusha rockets? And he says they're about 5 feet long. And he says what they'll do is they'll fire them from pickup trucks. So they move around, just kind of like what Iraq was doing a while back, too, you know, not so long ago.
Well, that's what they did during 91, right, during the first... Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so they're firing them, and then they'll hide them, you know, and they'll be firing them. So the military's going over trying to knock out these rocket launchers. They're in pickup trucks, and then they end up hitting a civilian area. But, I mean, that's where they're working out of. So, I mean, you know, that's terrorism in itself, and they're in hiding amongst, you know, innocent people.
Yeah, good Lord. All right. Well,
it's a tough situation.
We've once again done our standard Rick Emerson, Ed McCarthy thing of starting off really funnily and then ending just on a huge down right as we go into the weekend. So
I'll do another Dangerfield.
All right. Yeah, I'll just stand back. I'll step back from the microphone here. I'll let you roll some Dangerfield on it.
Okay, all right, here we go.
All right.
I'll tell you, life is tough, you know, I got no respect, you know. I'll tell you, I went to my doctor the other day, you know. I'll tell you what, I said, wait a minute. No, I went to my dentist, I said, I got yellow teeth. He says, wear brown ties.
Wait, hold on.
You know, I got to go through the whole repertoire again. I'm a little rusty, I got to be honest, as you can tell. You know,
that's okay.
With all the jokes. The guy's been dead a while, and I've been kind of in mourning, you know.
But this is the opera, this is the vacuum for you to step into. It's your time, Ed McCarthy. You're next. You can step in now and fill that void.
And everybody dies. They do the good stuff. I did Ed Sullivan, too. You know?
Can you do Ed Sullivan?
Right before we bring out Tubu Gigiu.
Oh,
for
Jesus.
The kiddies.
That's unnerving. Okay, that's just wrong. That's creepily good. All right.
Right now in our audience, Lieutenant John G. Jurgefell. Lieutenant Jurgefell's been through 3 tours of Vietnam. Come on now. Let's really hear it for Lieutenant Jurgefell. Come on now.
Okay, that's just freaky. Okay, on that disturbing note, I believe we're going to end this now.
Have a good weekend. Right, we'll talk to you next week.
You too, Matt. Talk to you soon. And thank you. There you go.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the unnerving Ed McCarthy. That Ed Sullivan was a little creepy.
That was a good show.
It really was. All right, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk. You know what's weird is someday Ed will be dead and I'll still be playing this.
From high top to bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. A woman who became stuck to a toilet seat in the shopping mall restroom was treated at a local hospital after paramedics used fingernail polish to remove her stubborn buttocks. This happened in Ireland.
Do you have a problem with stubborn buttocks?
What? The 53-year-old Council Bluffs woman suffered burns to her buttocks in the incident.
Oh, who doesn't look before they sit on a toilet seat?
Who has stubborn buttocks?
Somebody apparently placed a cement compound in the toilet seat in the restroom in the Mall of the Bluffs.
The Mall of the Bluffs.
They're treating this as a case of assault and vandalism. The woman who...
You're going to deny me. Oh, come on. You're going to deny me the chance to say assault and buttery? Buttery.
Well, these buttocks burns are painful, but the incident is one of the most embarrassing moments of her life. She refuses to be identified.
Removing her stubborn buttocks. That's fantastic. I check like 100 times before I sit down. Now.
I know. Well, you can see the consistency of the toilet seat. If there's something like
the
sticky.
The consistency?
Well, I mean, if you can tell if there's something on the toilet seat that you do not want to sit on.
When have you seen something sticky on a toilet seat?
if there's glue that she just sat on, obviously it looks.
Oh. You're saying theoretically, not in your experience.
No, not in my
experience. Now, this is an awkward question, but now do you, let me ask you this. Do you use the thing, the protector?
No, I hover.
You crouch, don't you?
But I know for a fact Alanis Morissette sits down.
That's right, because you went in and the seat was warm.
That's true.
What happened?
When she came to Entercom, I was trying to get up. I didn't have the balls to go talk to her.
This is Alanis Morissette when we were at Entercom a couple years ago.
Oh, so you felt her buttock seat.
Yes.
Her stubborn buttocks. This is short-haired Alanis Morissette, right? Right after she got married.
Yeah, she was really cute.
Yeah, I suppose.
Isn't married.
Isn't she?
She's engaged.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was.
Well, whatever. But she chopped off her hair. She was on the afternoon show there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sarah came running into the studio. She's like, I just sat on the toilet seat right after Alanis Morissette did. It was still warm, which is great.
I didn't even mean to sit down. I kind of slipped.
You meant to hover over Alanis' toilet seat. Okay. But here's what I'll do sometimes. If I'm in a public area and I'm unclear about the seat, because see, here's the thing.
Here's the thing, like 17 times.
I think the Viso just amplifies the use of certain phrases in my mouth. But sometimes, guys, it's like you swear to God sometimes they're standing up but leaving the seat down, if you know what I mean. It's something, they're just so, I really do have sympathy for women there sometimes, because you realize what pigs men sometimes can be. Sometimes you swear to God that men are going to the bathroom and they're doing their business while standing and yet leaving the seat. That's the only explanation for just how gross everything is. So if I'm like in a public restroom, public rest stop, something like that, and there's no, what did you call it? Hovering? If that's not an option, you know what I'll do? It's like if I have jeans on, just regular like jeans. I'll actually sit down on the seat, like with my jeans still, like fully clothed, and just sort of like, just as a last ditch effort.
That is the most horrible thing I've ever
heard. As a last ditch effort, just to make sure that there's no liquid of any kind on the seat. As a last ditch, I've done that. Now, I don't do it all the time. I'm saying, like, I've done that.
You walk around covered in urine.
I do not walk around covered in urine. No, if there was lots and lots of it, I would not do it, obviously. I'm saying, if there's, like, you're looking, you can't, and you just don't trust it. As a last ditch, I've done that. I have in the past.
You use your pants as a toilet seat polish?
As a buffer.
Can we change the subject?
Here's Tim Riley.
I mean, I've seen worse.
Stubborn bikes.
I went to Eastern Europe, to a former communist country.
I was in Calcutta.
Where the stalls have no doors, they have no toilets, and there are places to put your feet. There are outlines where to put your feet, so aerodynamically, your business will land in the hole. So you go into the
Scotty,
restroom.
Scotty, please not to be excerpting that phrase.
So you go into a restroom, at a nice restaurant.
And is it a bench with holes in it or something, like one long bench, or is it standing?
Yeah, standing.
You're leaning against a wall with your feet on the floor.
You're not leaning against anything.
You face it.
You face the wall.
It's just a hole. Well, that's one of my youngest memories.
Okay, but how do
being in Spain and you have to...
Okay, how do I put this? Are you standing with your feet akimbo like this?
Yes, there are places to put your feet. And if you put your feet in the right spots aerodynamically, you cannot miss your target.
So you're standing straight up.
Yeah.
In other words, you're not leaning against something. You are standing. You are straddling the hole while standing. I cannot believe that we're talking about this. Let's move on.
I mean, it was just shocking.
Good God almighty.
Well, let's talk about the woman who was trying to conquer her fear of heights by skydiving. She died after the plane she was supposed to jump out of crashed.
Oh, wait, hold on. That's the... All right, there you go. Thank you.
Victoria De La Cruz, who was only 22, was killed with five others on Saturday in Missouri. The twin-engine light aircraft carrying the skydiving group nosedived and crashed soon after takeoff. Meanwhile...
That's when to grow on. Oh, no.
Italian resort owners plan to create an all-female beach section for Muslim women who want to kick up their burqas.
They want to have sex through a slit in a sheet.
Our beaches are big enough to answer this need, says Loretta Villa,
okay,
a councilwoman. We live on tourism. We can't survive if we don't satisfy the needs of Muslim women. These areas will be off limits to men. The reserve beaches will be waited on by waitresses and watched over by women lifeguards.
All right. Rick, this email says, what are the odds that you would get your buttocks stuck to a toilet? They're astronomical. Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, let's go back to the sound bites. Number four, and now we're number one.
Okay.
Ohio Governor Bob Taft is waking up after spending his annual night with the livestock at the Ohio State Fair. Last night, he spent the night at the Livestock and Trade Center in Lynchburg, Ohio. He said after a short night, he'll wake up and get ready to feed the animals. And he said it's his second straight year of helping with beef cattle and looks forward to learning more about farm animals.
It's a really interesting kind of cattle. They're called limousine cattle, and they're beautiful animals. And I'm looking forward to learning more about all the hard work it takes to raise and show these animals.
I don't understand anything about this story. I will only
this
say
news, this for Red State listeners.
Well, I was just going to say, what state is this?
Ohio.
Wouldn't you feel awkward about living in a town called Lynchburg? Especially if it was sort of southern in any way?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, am I the only one it's sort of awkward sounding.
Well, I think most southern towns have weird names like that.
Yes. All right.
Bargain hunters from around the world will be descending on Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama this weekend for the world's largest yard sale.
Ought to be a hick watch.
Vendors have set up for 450 miles from Covington, Kentucky to Gladstone, Alabama along U.S. 127. Ruby Upchurch is the director of tourism for the Fentress County Chamber of Commerce in Jamestown, Tennessee. She urges bargain hunters to wear comfortable clothes and to bring plenty of water.
And gloves.
Come out early to find specific items. If you're just looking for
this
bargain,
does not sound like Ruby
Sunday
Upchurch.
A lot of people aren't going to want to take things home with them, a lot of the vendors, so they're going to cut prices and just to go home empty-handed, basically.
Is that a man named Ruby?
I suppose it is.
Father's a big Kenny Rogers fan. South.
I mean, people down there have weird names like Lestoil and things like that.
Like in Utah, you're constantly meeting women named LaDave.
Meanwhile, a code enforcement officer has been hospitalized after becoming sick from apparently smelling trash. The man and his partner were near trash bins at the back of a vacant restaurant in Ventura, California, when he suddenly became sick. Medical personnel arrived and he was transported to a hospital. His partner's fine.
I'm sorry.
Fire and hazmat teams inspected the building and found no hazardous conditions. The smell evidently came from decomposing organic matter in the trash bins.
Okay, let's talk about trash for a second.
Let's do.
No.
No, we're not in the lunch hour.
We've already spent like 20 minutes talking about going to the bathroom. Can we just move forward?
Fine. I had all these kooky, trashy anecdotes. That's fine. Guess my needs aren't important. I'll just sit over here and be quiet.
Time now for not a single but a double penis watch.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away.
Bada bow.
I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Bow, bow, bow.
A jilted husband stabbed his wife's new lover to death when he found them in bed together before cutting off the man's penis. This happened in Australia. Gabor Ziha then allegedly placed...
there's no sound... See how my being quiet thing lasted about 10 seconds. There's no sound quite like the sound that Tim makes when he hasn't pre-read a story.
And then it's just unbelievable as I'm reading it along here.
Because sometimes there's a lot of, like you can hear there's a smooth flow. There's a certain sort of smooth cadence to the whole thing. Sometimes there's a lot of, New Jersey, oh God, you know, it's just sort of the sound of like the unfolding horror as it happens inside Tim's head.
This is one of those cases.
Okay. Let's start at the top, shall we?
A jilted husband stabbed his wife's lover to death after he found them in bed together before cutting off the man's penis. Gabor Ziha that allegedly placed the victim's penis in a dresser drawer containing the lingerie of his 54-year-old wife, Maria.
For safekeeping.
Let's see here. The attack took place in Mr. Corbett's unit in Pomeranza.
I'll say it did.
apparently, the penis cutter stood silent throughout his brief appearance before the court, charging him with one count of murder and one count of malicious wounding causing grievous bodily harm. Police allege that when he arrived in the unit at 9 p.m., he was
which
armed
unit
with
are we
cutting,
talking about?
He was armed with a cutting implement and a torch.
Oh, ho, ho. You mean a torch like a put on your goggles?
I suppose
torch,
so, yeah.
Or is it like a is it a Frankenstein storming the castle kind of torch?
I don't know, like the kind you use on making creme brulee or something. When the police arrived at the unit, Ziha had fled the scene. Inside the unit, they found Mr. Corbett dead in the bedroom for multiple stab wounds.
But no, you okay? But see, here's the question. So he, how do they know that he went into the house with a what is it? What kind of cutting tool?
A cutting implement and a torch.
They don't specify what kind of cutting implement it is?
I'm sorry, they don't know.
But a torch.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, when a torch, again, there's two things. There's like the little butane torch, and then there's like the Gilligan's Island, we're going to inspect the cave where the big spider lives torch, mm-hmm. which is like a stick with toilet paper on the end of it. And then there's a cutting implement. So you wonder how they knew that, and then... But there's no reference to what the torch, if the torch was even used?
No, there is not.
Hmm. Well, okay. Well, there you go. That's the first half of the penis watch.
Second half. A sunbather was left writhing in agony when his testicles became trapped between slats of wood in his deck chair.
Oh!
This sounds like something that would happen in Russia, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does. Or in a movie starring Owen Wilson.
Mario Visnik had been swimming naked in the sea and returned to the wooden chair, but his private parts slipped through two slats and got stuck. He had to call beach maintenance on his mobile phone at the naturalist hotspot, which is at Balata, which is near Rungunga in the country's western area. Okay. The workers cut the deck chair in half and released the fellow, who hobbled away in relief.
And there you go. That's your penis watch.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous
proud.
Penis. And everything is going my way.
Getting lots of toilet seat comments. We'll take a break here. We come back. If those folks are still there, we'll talk to them. If not, we have other inanities and goofs with which to fill your day. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up later on, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. It's the worst song you've ever heard. We got to play that Storm single again. And we'll have more at the City Desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Rob Halford. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio coming up later on. That new it's that new Will Ferrell movie. That's what opens today, right? There's nothing else that I care about. I don't even really care about that, truth be told. And for reasons I can't really quantify. I'm unclear about... I don't hate Will Ferrell. I'm not the biggest Will Ferrell fan in the world. You know, like, I'm a casual Will Ferrell. I thought Anchorman was a fantastic film. I thought Elf was a decent film. He's done some things that I don't really care about one way or the other. There's something that rubs me the wrong way about this, about his new one. I think because it seems like such a complete and blatant clone of Anchorman. Do you know what I mean? I have trouble even really putting it into words. Even the titles are really similar. Because wasn't Anchorman, it was like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, mm-hmm. and this is like Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Is the name of the whole name of the film. So there's something, I don't know, it seems very much like a retread. I think Scott Daly's talking about that, but I'm not entirely sure. We'll also do, It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard, and we'll try to get to, that new Storm single. We play that again, today. It's 503-733-2970. Okay, now why would you put that on the screen? Here's what he's put on the screen. He has line one, so-and-so. You're the best, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, then why are you even writing it up? Okay, what is that? I don't understand why you're putting it on the screen.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam
welcome
up,
now
Scotty.
To the Rick Emerson radio
message.
Program. Thank
good.
You. Scotty J. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody.
How are you today?
Good.
This is Scotty J.
A little crazy today.
Scotty, now I had Scotty doing some work last night because you know we've been playing that new single from Storm and the Balls, which is Ladylike, and a lot of people did not realize that that's a radio edit where they make a singer sometimes, especially in rock radio, they will make different edits of a song because sometimes it has profanity or so forth, and so they'll bleep it or they'll do it. For a while, it was really in vogue to when there was profanity to just play it backward. You would go into an audio editing program and instead of the F word, you would hear like gawk, you know, or whatever the hell that sounds like. You would hear it all backwards. Steve Miller's Jet Airliner was like that for a while, where it was like, you know, it was instead of funky S, and it was all like funky, and now, but now they're back to playing the funky kicks going down in the city. But that Storm Ladylike has the F word like 100 times.
Yeah,
in
it's very profane.
Because it's what the F is ladylike. But they feel like it has good single potential, and so they recut a radio edit of it where she says, what the what? And so whenever you hear that second what, that's really the F word, blah, 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 blah. So I was trying to have some version where I merged the two, where I had part of it bleeped, and then at the end when it gets really vile, just to have the clean version. And Scotty, anyway, so Scotty came and he was listening to these girls, and Scotty expressed disapproval with a stern parental look on his face that she ruined a song by putting profanity in it.
What?
Scotty's all like, I am personally offended. I believe that she ruined that
have
song by injecting
Storm
it
perform?
With profanity.
I have not seen her perform before, but before I had heard the song with the profanity in it, I was like, why? Why would she wreck a good song? Then I heard the profanity one, and it's not so bad.
All right. So he was, all right. So,
you know what I'm saying?
Anyway, so we'll try to play that later on here. So we've got a bleeped version of it finally, right?
Right.
Because that gives people a little.
The whole thing is bleeped, but it sounded good to me.
It sounds okay. It doesn't sound as good as, you know, obviously if we could just play it, but I mean, it gives people a little peek into the window of, you know, of what is Storm, because she does have a mouth like a truck driver. Okay, but here's what we've got on the screen. This is why I brought Scotty in the studio. It's describing this caller, da 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 da, and then right here it says, keep your finger near the dump on this one. And then right below that it says, do not say that on air. But why?
Now, and then right after that, what does it say?
Be aware.
Okay, so
what does that even mean?
Some things belong behind the curtain, even though we like to show the curtain to
all
everyone.
Right, I think I'll be the judge of what belongs behind the curtain,
okay.
Scotty Chang.
Okay, well, take it.
Can
now,
I
why?
To the guy?
Go ahead and take it.
Okay, it's a woman. Now, why would you put something up on the screen and then warn me that I have to keep my finger near the delay? For what reason do you think?
Why would I screen calls? Right.
That's the job of the screener. If you think someone's going to use profanity on the air, don't let her on the air.
My question is not only that, like, if you think, see, because there's different reasons we are here. We here at the CBS radio are equipped with a 7-second delay, which means that if somebody uses language which is inappropriate, we can then delete that language and make sure that it does not hit the airwaves, and then we punish people with the Connie Chung song. So
which is bad.
But there are various reasons for that. Now here's different reasons why people use profanity on the air. You hear this a lot on the Likas show, by the way, Tom's show, and they have a fantastic delay system set up there. The guy who runs their delay, I don't know who that is, if it's Dino or whoever it is, it's genius. But there are various reasons. The most common reason that someone uses profanity on the air is because they forget that they are on a radio program, which is sort of a compliment, because they're talking to us just like they're talking to their pals. They forget that it's a radio show. They forget that, in the words of Barry Champlain, when you speak, thousands of people hear your voice. And they just sort of think that they're talking, which is fine. Then there are people who are drunk. That's probably number two. And then the third is people, some guy thinks he's going to be clever and he's going to call up and he's going to scream like MF Baba Booey or whatever. Because he thinks he's the first, because no one's ever done that. He thinks that
the other
thing that people will do is people will call up and they'll rope-a-dope you. They'll be like, so I was calling in about the situation in Syria with the FF, you know, and because they think that it's going to like rattle us somehow, or that we're going to be, you know, that we're going to be all thrown off by it. It's like,
no, so I want to know what kind of this woman, like, why do you think this woman's
that's going to my question to this. So what is this caller, what did this caller say to you that made you, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What type of profanity might this be?
What did this caller say to you when you picked up the phone that led you to type on the screen, keep your finger near the delay?
Well, if I'm in my parental mode, this is, you know, I this is better than, you know, a sex, number one, this show. apparently. Okay.
I have no idea what we're talking. What do you mean?
This show is better than.
Oh, so we have
that.
A drunk caller.
And it went on and on about, you know, certain things that I can't, I'm not even, I'll let you talk about them. But the next thing was, you know, effing good and, you know, this show is great. And
is this a drunk caller?
I don't think so. I don't believe
crazy?
So.
Is it a caller that, is it a crazy caller? Sometimes you'll get crazy callers.
Well, I would never call any of your listeners crazy,
oh, I would.
Rick.
Oh, come on. We're all adults here.
Nutty.
Let's all speak and speak as men here. So in your assessment, this is a caller who has no internal filter.
Oh, well, I'm hoping that.
Somebody would swear in front of your grandmother.
Well, I'm hoping that this person does have an internal filter, but I wanted to.
What is the point of this call? Is this someone calling up just to praise us?
Yes.
Well, then we should probably take it.
Exactly. And I just wanted to.
Sarah, how do you feel about taking
kind of
this
be
call?
Behind the curtain there and kind of just, you know, do my job and tell you
which
what
we want. Appreciate,
that's
Scotty.
All.
So now, do you? How
I
do
don't
you
mind if it's not I don't mind if it's not an angry caller.
I think you're okay after all this conversation.
All right.
I think
well,
you
okay.
should be.
My fingers near the dump. We're ready.
Well,
Sarah?
She should understand that it's a, you know, million-dollar fine.
It's a family-oriented program here. All right.
That's right.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, Rick. It's Elizabeth the Goddess. I'm sober.
Okay.
Just wanted to call you up and tell you I think you're the greatest radio personality I've ever heard.
Now, don't repeat the language that you said to Scotty.
I just said your radio show is almost better than.
Than sex.
SEX. Because
did
it
you
makes
actually
me feel so good. And so happy. And I just thought you'd want to know that I was having a rotten day. You went into your dog name, and I thought it was hysterical, and it changed my whole day and made it really great, and I thought I'd call you up and say thanks.
Now, see, Scotty, this is a perfectly pleasant caller. Now,
I've been listening to your show for years.
I cried when you went off the air.
I'm so glad you're back. I'm so glad you're not on at 9 in the morning anymore.
Yes, you and me both.
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
I love you to death.
Well, thank you. Hold on just, Elizabeth. Don't go. Now, see, Scotty, I feel you have unfairly judged this caller because Elizabeth sounds perfectly normal, perfectly sane, does not sound unpredictable in any way. She doesn't sound unstable or drunk.
Right. Before we went through it.
You're saying she sounded drunk earlier?
No, I never said the word drunk, not once, but there were a few warnings given first. I'm screaming for
you. I was overly delighted.
And so you were so exuberant that when Scotty was screening you.
I was effusive and loquacious.
Oh, God bless you.
And not erudite at all.
You, okay.
Which
see.
You prefer.
Yes. All right, Scotty.
Since you are a DJ with a high command of vernacular, that you prefer that in your listeners as well.
It is absolutely true. What celebrity would you say you most resemble, Elizabeth?
Meryl Streep.
Really? What? Wait, now, Silkwood Meryl Streep or Devil Wears Prada Meryl Streep? Hello, we're all gay. What? Devil Wears Prada Meryl Streep?
Well, long blonde hair and slender.
This is fantastic.
Oh, this is like, you know, way back there at Meryl Streep.
That's excellent. So, yes.
Young Meryl Streep.
So, again, yes. Yeah, so, again, we are talking maybe Silkwood era or maybe somebody else. Tim, help me. Early Meryl Streep films.
Yes.
I don't remember.
Oh, Sophie's Choice, maybe?
Oh, yep. Maybe.
You
all right.
Got it.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much, Scotty. I think I believe you should apologize to Elizabeth for unfairly prejudging her.
Well, tell Scotty I'm sorry I scared him.
That's all right.
Elizabeth, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
thank you. Spoken like a true radio person. Thank you for the call, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, thank you. You spread the word, sister.
You bet.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. There you go. That's Elizabeth. Uh-huh. I feel so bad we like put her through this gauntlet. All right. That's Elizabeth. All right.
Scotty, waited screen, though.
That's good. You know, better to be too cautious than not cautious enough, Scotty.
That was just supposed to be behind the scenes, but you know what?
No.
You throw it out there.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Thank you for your permission to discuss that on the air. All right, thank you. There you go. Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen.
Just because he has children. He's trying to father us.
Just because he's fertile. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From higher down to one of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Here's one for the children. A cross-dressing gunman on rollerblades who robbed a Melbourne bank outside his house has been sentenced to 6 years in jail. Nino Lanoux, who's 32, was wearing a skirt, wig.
Wait. Nino Lanoux, who's 32, felt he had nothing better to do. He got on some skates and... No, I've got nothing. All right, never mind.
Well, he was wearing a skirt, a wig, makeup, and fake breasts, and was armed with an imitation gun. He robbed a National Australian Bank across the street from his house.
Excellent.
Stole more than $24,000. He forced the bank staff to open the security door and emptying the drawers, telling him, "I will not hurt anyone." Just as John Smallwood accepted Lanou's excuse, because he's an emotionally and socially disconnected young man. He's sentenced to 6 years in jail.
Okay.
Well, London may not have been seeing too much of Tom Cruise, but Penelope Cruz is among those who have seen his baby, Surrey.
Now, we were talking about
how
this.
How come we don't have a Tom Cruise watch?
I don't know. We really should. We really should have a segment, but like a Cruise News You Can Use segment. But I don't even know what it would be. It seems so obvious to use, like, Crazy by Patsy Cline or something.
No. Yes, that with his jumping on the couch on Oprah with the audio from that. Of
I'm so in love!
Yeah.
Or whatever that was. And then something from Top Gun. We should offer some sort of a prize for that, if you would like to create a Tom Cruise, because we had such luck with, we really have had good luck with listeners creating sounders, because we had the, because Aaron, Geek in the City, Duran, created the,
A boy's best friend is his mother.
There you go. That's our serial killer watch. And then, let's see, and then Scotty didn't really count as a listener, but we had the,
I think I did it again.
That never gets old. Oh, it's fantastic. All right, so if you would perhaps like to try your hand at creating a sounder, we need a Tom Cruise sounder.
Can we just listen to that one more time?
No. Maybe we should do a bring it on you later.
Maybe we should do a Britney watch.
Do we have a Britney watch?
Certainly do.
All right, but wait, are we in a watch now?
Well, no, we're not.
Well, let's finish this story, because then we'll play that again. So if you'd like to create a Tom Cruise sounder, we'd love to hear that. That would be fantastic. You take your hand, try your hand at that, and we'll come. If you create a Tom Cruise, like a cruise watch, mm-hmm. if you can... I'm going to skip the obligatory joke about how cruise watch could also be about George Michael, bada bing. If you'd like to create a cruise watch, we can... we will provide a nice prize from the AM970 bag of crap to the person who creates the watch that we use. Okay, but so Penelope Cruz claims that she has seen Tom Cruise's baby, which seems like a load mm-hmm. because they're broken up. And I mean, contrary to what everybody says, contrary to, like, for example, Sarah and Justin, who remain good friends, most people who break up, you know, you just don't talk to them anymore. I mean, you're either enemies or you're just nothing. You're not typically good friends. That is far and away the exception to the rule. And it does seem like Tom Cruise does not stay in touch with most of the women he's dated, like he and Mimi Rogers and he and Nicole Kidman. So it seems strange that he would pick a woman that he pretty seriously dated and then had kind of a public falling out with to come and see his baby with another girl. It just seems weird.
No, that seems hard to believe.
Like, if you had a baby, you wouldn't be immediately inviting Justin over to look at it, would you?
No, I mean, do you think he's just paying these random people off?
I don't know. And so, did she say when and where this happened?
She described Surrey as one of the sweetest babies I've ever met in my life. She looks like Tom and Katie. She is just beautiful.
Everyone
this
keeps
is exactly the
that.
Same thing Leah Remini said. Babies of regulation size.
I mean, isn't the baby like an egg with a smile? I mean,
essentially.
What a baby look like at this age?
I have no idea. All right, so there you go. That's our cruise news you can use. Is this a Britney watch?
It certainly is, yes.
I think I did it again.
What is that?
I don't know, but it's genius.
It is, isn't it?
Well done, Scotty.
I wonder if people can hear that over the radio.
I don't care. I can hear it here.
God.
I'm pretty sure you can. I'm pretty sure the monophonic AM band carries that with the fantastic...
With the
Monaro
goat baby at the end.
AM band, yeah. Well, that's gold is what that is.
Well, to help parents with a serious topic, a minor league baseball team is using some humor to spread the message about keeping babies safe in vehicles. The Newark Bears will host Britney Spears Baby Night tonight, naming the event for the pop singer whose recent miscues with her baby received national attention. Fans gathering at 7:05 tonight will get information on baby car seat safety,
okay,
and a chance to win a free car seat from the AAA. Fans will dress as a baby, bring a baby toy, or bring their baby, a child 4 and under, and get in free. Spears' care of her child, who was born in September, has made headlines since February when photos showed her in a car with her son on her lap instead of being strapped in a car seat in the back.
All right. And this is your answer, by the way. This is from Todd the Corpse. Come on. He says, Rick, what the hell is that disturbing noise at the end of the Britney Watch theme? What in the name of God is going on? There's your Britney Watch for Friday.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have.
You see, my problem is this.
Oh, my God.
Jesus
Christ.
What
is wrong with Scotty?
I don't really know. You ought to hear the stuff of his I don't play. Who wants to hear something I don't play?
Me.
All right. Let's play. Let's see. Where am I put this here? This is Friday. Let's play a random soundbite from Scotty that I've chosen not to play on the air. Let's see. Scotty, new sound. Okay, this is... all right. Okay, Scott... Remind me when Scott Daly gets here to play you the Scott Daly, because I have replaced the Pulp Fiction theme. I put Miserlou back in there. Remind me when Scott Daly gets here to play you the Scotty J produced Scott Daly intro that we don't use because it's ludicrous. How about this? Remember, for the longest time I've been saying we need a delivery driver sound, because like 90% of our audience is delivering something or other. Okay, here's a delivery driver theme created by Scotty J. See if you can pick out the element in this that doesn't belong.
Today we salute you, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
Go on, crew. Go on, mama, like an S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U. Go on, baby.
See, what? I don't know if you can hear that there's bagpipes.
Yes, I can hear the bagpipes. What was that for?
They're bag... Hello, is that me? Is that my microphones or my headphones?
I just lost my
left channel here.
You're
fine.
All right, am I okay?
Sound like you always do.
All right,
do.
Yeah, I lost my left channel there. All right.
On your new headphones.
Yeah, I think it's the jack, though. But there's, if you could hear, there's bag...
What was that for?
It's for a delivery driver. I'm like, well, we need something real briefly whenever a delivery driver joins us on the program. And he's like, yeah, I'll see what I can put together.
That's not real brief. That's about 30 seconds.
No, it's really long. It's like 25 seconds. There's an Alabama song. There's a Budweiser commercial. But then there's this really inane, pointless crowning touch is the bagpipes.
Today we salute you, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
Go on, crew. Go on, mama, like an S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U. Go on, baby.
So there you go. So there's...
Oh, please play one more.
Oh, okay. Well, here's... Okay. Let's play this before Scott Daly gets here. This is the this is the opening for Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com that Scotty J created that we opted not to play.
Brilliance. That's all I can say. Sheer, unadulterated brilliance.
Stadler?
What?
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.
It's like an hour long, for one thing.
They can do the clothes.
The best part is how the Muppet intro is all out of phase. Like, so can you hear that? It's like two different versions of the song that are not quite synced up. Yeah, there you go. Good times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a keeper. Let's talk to Benjamin. Hello, Benjamin. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. What's up? What do you got?
Well, I called about one thing, but I got something else real quick. I want to give a shout-out to a delivery driver friend of mine, who's a big fan of the show.
Today we salute you, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
Go on, crew. Go on, mama, like an S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-
You did that just to hear this, didn't you? All right.
Fantastic.
All right, so there you go. There's your shout-out.
Now, speaking of Sounders, I had something for you. I thought this from the very first time I heard it. When you're summoning Scotty J to the studio, the very end of that sounder should have the Star Trek transporter materialization sound.
Oh, yeah, like when they're beaming up.
Yeah,
I can't do it, but yeah, the beam up.
Into the studio.
That's a great idea. So we are just making it. We are summoning him, and he appears in front of us.
Magically, as if, yes, by high technology.
That's a great idea. Thank you, sir.
Oh, yes, you're welcome. Oh, I had one other thing I wasn't going to say, but I guess I'm going to say it anyway. Have you heard about the midnight movie tonight at the Baghdad?
Yeah, Court and Fatboy, they're showing Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes, that's going to be great. I'm going to that tonight. So I just wanted to extend an invite. Maybe I'll see you there.
No, it's true. I got a big email. Like, it was like an internal company email from Court the other day. They just said, knee in the subject line. So Monty Python and the Holy Grail. So the best thing about it is you don't need to worry about what you're going to wear or sucking in your gut or combing your hair because there will be no women anywhere.
That's all right. Great.
Thank you. That was, like a radio laugh. Yes, sir. Thank you, Benjamin.
This is just how I laugh. It's all good. Best show ever.
Thank you. Thank you. There you go. That's Benjamin. Kay, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
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 Hey, I think you should use the song Crazy from Gnarls Barkley for the Tom Cruise debt.
Well, somebody was suggesting Crazy and then the Twilight Zone theme and then the couch jumping. I'm so in love! That thing on top, you know, like all at once.
Yeah. Well, you should listen to it. I think it fits right in with him.
All right. Thank you, Kay.
You bet.
All right. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Okay, so let's see here. What should we, so Scotty, this Storm in the Balls Ladylike is edited?
For the most part.
Okay, more or less.
Wasn't it Scotty who edited the Snakes on a Plane?
That is true. You are the one. You are the one who claimed that the Snakes on a Plane song was edited, and then we played that and not so much. Yeah, no, that's true. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and roll this then. We'll go ahead and play this. This is Storm in the Balls. Let's play this song. We'll do this right into a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. We'll do It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard and so forth. In the meantime, from the upcoming yet indefinitely delayed CD, Blue, which is the new one from Storm and the Balls, this is the brand new single from those guys. This is called Ladylike, right here on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
Turns the world, and you need a jet to get to her.
they like if ladies like to do what they like just like you. Yeah, just like you. Look how many girls.
There's a new single from Storm and the Balls from the upcoming CD Blue, that's Ladylike, right here on the Rick Emerson Show. Band-Aid next, back after this with Scott Dudley from FilmFeederRadio.com. Don't go anywhere.
Listen up, you lucky. It's time to make your miserable life slightly more interesting. This is Band-Aid with Sarah Dillon.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Happy weekend to you all. Lots to do this weekend at the Doug Fir Friday night. Amelia, Lee Marble, and Jim Brunberg are playing starting at 9, $10 for that show. And it is 21 and over at Holocene. Hey, Willpower, the Snuggle Ups, and Doin' Dudes are going to be there. Now, the Doin' Dudes are having their CD release party that starts around 10 at the Oregon Zoo. If you want to head out there Friday night, you can go see Pink Martini starting at 7 o'clock. Saturday night at Acme, Pirate Radio, Swim Swam Swum, and Get Down to Brass Tacks are playing starting at 10. There is a cover for that, and it is 21 and over. At the Ash Street Saturday night, Good Time Gill and Blackheart White Noise, who are really good, are playing starting around 9:30. The Meteors, the Neutrinos, and the Bedlam Boys are playing at Dante's starting around 9:30. That is $14 the day of the show. It is 21 and over, and at Zabala's Saturday night, the Skeptics, Neon Maniacs, and Dissonance, along with a couple other bands, are playing starting around 9:30. Sunday night, don't miss 48 Thrills playing at the Hawthorne Theater along with Aisle 3, Novice, and Dropout Theory. A lot of good shows this weekend. I hope to see you out at one or two of them. And if you see me out and about, and you probably will, be sure to buy me a vodka soda, extra lime.